Confessions of a Trainwreck. 30, flirty, and surviving.
It's easy to speak out of the way I live, but it's a 24-carat dream. No supermodel in my dirty jeans, but in my 24-inch heels.
Commandment number 165. Thou shalt remember that a feminist is any woman who tells the truth about her life. According to the dictionary, woke is a term that refers to the awareness of issues that concern social and racial injustice. And in the wake of 2020, I think it's pretty safe to say that we're all so woke, we can officially throw away our alarm clocks. From racism and gender inequality to ageism and sexuality, there are so many things to be woke about. But in the sake of time, and for also streamlining this episode, I'm going to focus on one in particular. A few months ago, I went through my own woke moment about gender privilege and the patriarchy, which sent me spiraling down a rabbit hole. So of course, I turned to my girlfriends for some advice. It was here that I discovered that they too were also going through, or had been through, the exact same thing. And can I just say that it is so comforting not carrying a mental load on your own. So again, in a bid to merely start a conversation that you may or may not already be having with your own friends, I'm calling upon one of mine to talk about feminism. I honestly wish I'd kept recording after we finished this episode because it brought on so many other issues surrounding role models and cancel culture that I think are just as important to talk about, but I guess those are just going to have to be topics for another day. Join me in a blast from the past as I welcome back a guest from my very first season. Welcome back, Keisha.
Cheers.
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 Cheers and...
Hang on, sit first. I always forget that it's bad luck not to sip straight after you cheers.
Or make eye contact.
And people call you out on it. Have you noticed that in social situations, if you cheers and don't look at people straight away, they're like, 7 years of bad sex. Grow up.
Or when you cheers with water and they're like, bad luck for life or something, you're like.
No.
I don't like the eye staring because people actually then just like stare straight into your eyes, like really wide-eyed.
I find eye contact incredibly awkward.
I find like intimate moments with strangers and friends really awkward, you know that.
Strangers and friends?
Yeah, you know, I don't have a thing with hugging.
That's right.
Yeah.
When you told me you were pregnant, it's like, and I tried to hug you and you kept your arms straight by your side like Gumby.
I feel like it's this weird thing where I crave affection and crave a stranger's touch, but also at the same time, like, reject hugging. Like,
would you like to be hugged by a stranger?
Yeah. Oh, no. I just like...
Not by your loved ones.
When my friends hug me, it's like weird, but I do love the affection. Like, yeah. It's such a really weird thing.
So you're not receptive to it, but you like it.
Well, let's just blame our parents for that, okay?
There's so much we can blame our parents for, but that's like a whole different episode that we could do on that alone, and I'm sure that we could get like listeners involved in that one.
I'm sure you could just bring all your friends on. It could just be like a 20-hour long episode.
I think the reason I'm friends with all of my friends is because we're all traumatized and bonded over childhood traumas.
Yes, and let's hope none of our parents listen to this.
Definitely don't, so we're safe there.
Yeah.
Well, I can start by saying welcome back to the podcast, Keisha, because you were in season... number one.
Yeah, so long ago.
Which is literally a lifetime ago.
Times have changed.
Times have really, really, really changed.
Yeah.
You're married now. You're pregnant. You have a house.
Not living with housemates.
Not living with housemates. And the episode we did was about housemates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like I got a bit of hot water after that too, because I didn't realize that a lot of my friends did listen to that and they knew all the people that I was talking about.
I know.
And I think the person I talked about listened to it. Mm. So, you know.
I just live my life now assuming that everyone listens because people generally bring it up. So to me...
You're out in the open now, so we can all, you're quite transparent.
It's funny when you start new jobs or you like maybe meet someone new that one of your friends, they might be friends with a friend.
Yeah.
It's so funny to see how long it takes them to say to you, oh my God, I love your podcast.
And you're like, which part?
Which one? Do you still listen? Have you written me a review?
Early seasons or later seasons?
Oh, so funny. But today... Oh, God, that's fresh. Today, I want to talk to you about a topic, and I know you hate the term being woke, but in summary, that's kind of what it's about.
It's the buzz.
It's the buzz. It's a buzzword, being woke.
Yeah.
And I think that I've always identified as somewhat of a feminist, whatever that means to you. But I fell into a little bit of a rabbit hole recently. It would have been a couple of months ago now when I got really, really, really deeply invested in Jamelia Jamil's podcast. Mm-hmm. And she has a really beautiful innate way, I think, of articulating problems with the patriarchy. And I think it's kind of like, you know, when you watch, we're talking before about when you watch so much Breaking Bad in a row, you start to feel really gross and you can't separate your life from the series that you're kind of watching.
Yeah.
And I think when you binge listen to so many heavy podcast episodes about the same kind of themes and you listen to how all these women are just living their whole life fighting against the patriarchy.
Yeah.
You start spiraling so, so deeply in a way that you can't stop thinking about anybody else. And for me, it all came to a head when my poor boyfriend happened to walk into the house, which he also lives in. And because he was just the closest man,
yep.
I absolutely let fire on him for no other reason than he was a man. And I was angry at the patriarchy, but I just took it all out on him. And I think I had just felt so heavy for taking on this massive load that I didn't even need to take on for some reason.
Yeah. Jeremy's definitely had the same thing happen to him on many occasions.
On many occasions. Yeah. And I think that the thing was when I can't even remember like what the in detail, like what it was kind of about. It wasn't like a fight. It was just me absolutely blowing up about how unfair it is and how he's never going to relate to the fact that he's always just going to earn more than me because he's a man and how, you know, he doesn't have to sacrifice his career for maternity leave. And I just got so, so deep and how he doesn't have to be stressed about the mental load that women deal with and all. It just catapulted from there. And I eventually, the next day, I think I sent him a message and I was like, I'm really sorry. Actually later that day. And I was like, I'm really, really sorry about this morning. I'm just feeling really heavy about all of this at the moment for some reason. And he was actually so beautiful about it. He was like, don't apologize. I think you should be really angry. And unfortunately I can't put myself in your shoes and say, I know how you feel because I don't.
Oh,
and
he was like, response.
It was a really good response. Like I'm very lucky and I know that. But then when I started talking to girlfriends about it, because I was like, I surely cannot be the only person feeling like this.
Yeah.
And I know that it's always existed, but for some reason, and I don't know if it's now being like in a different decade or you just start to change. And I found that all of the friends I was speaking to about it had either been through it or were also going through it, which made me wonder, is it an age thing?
I think it's a bit of both. I think when you come in, we were talking about this before as well, like looking back at your 20s and thinking like, how did I just ignore everything going on around me? I think when you're in your 20s, you're kind of stuck in this like selfish state of mind of like trying to just get through life pretty much and like working through getting through your own problems. I don't think you're even self-aware of your own self at that point.
And I think also in your 20s you're experiencing most things for the first time, so you have nothing to compare those experiences to.
Yeah, and we're like from a I think being in Gen Y as well, being in the 90s and 2000s, which are problematic in themselves, I think we're from that generation as well where we were part of, I guess, the new generation of 20-year-olds are very much self-aware about political issues and where they stand with like things like feminism and any political issue actually. And now I guess in our 20s, no one wanted to talk about that. It was very much the same mentality that every generation's always had. It's just like ignorance is bliss.
Yeah.
So I think it's a bit of both. It's a bit of both the current like climate and, you know, this decade and kind of really people being, I guess, woke in air quotes and kind of coming to realizations and the social pressure that we have to change as a society, but then as well, I guess coming out of that phase of being 20s and kind of looking around us and thinking, hold on, like this is what I actually am like believing in and I want to be a part of it now. Whereas I think particularly things like feminism, we're such like a kind of like scary word back in our in the 20s because it isolated you. And I think no one wanted to talk about it then. Whereas now it's like such an empowering place to be, and you're so supported. All your friends identify as being feminist, or you'd hope so. And
your partner does too. And I think that's really good.
Yeah.
But what I wanted to ask you about was, because I think this is where I can see a lot of people struggling with, how do you not start resenting your partner or the men in your life for this problem? Because I think that you are so, and I did for that day and that time. And I think that's why I just let loose on poor Damon. But there was a moment there when I was like, how am I ever going to not resent men when it's not their fault necessarily?
I think there's always going to be a resent towards men. And like, unfortunately, same with my partner, you'd hope, but there's never going to be a point where you go, wow, you're doing everything possible to like challenge the patriarchy as a male. Like, and that's just,
because in saying that, that's fair, because we're not as women either.
Exactly right. Yeah.
There is 110 more things we could be doing, but that is exhausting and we can't solve every single problem. But I think you need to be a part of the solution, not the problem, but you can't be the solution.
Yeah. I'm just like, it's so funny, I think, because I'm such like a aggressive person when it comes to my opinions, as well, as you know. So I think, like, obviously when I've had those moments where I've spiraled down, like Clementine's Ford's podcasts and Insta stories, which I love. And
same.
Yeah.
And for anyone who hasn't watched her deep dives on movies, have to do that, especially because she doesn't. And I think a big misconception about feminism is you have to be this like long, hairy arm pitted, full, like it's protesting woman.
Yeah.
It's such a misconception. And I think one of the best deep dives she's ever done was about Legally Blonde and how that movie is actually very feminist and empowering women.
Yeah.
And anyway, I digress.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And the beauty standards are one thing, but I think in terms of like, it's about kind of like the empowerment of women and also understanding kind of your privilege within feminism as well. And it's just kind of being self-aware of where you sit and how you're perpetuating it in any way in the patriarchy. So I think it's the same with, and I come back to our partners, like, you know, poor Jeremy has like copped many of me just like literally storming out of my room, just being like, all right, we're talking about sexual harassment in the workplace. Like, and we're talking about it now. And he's just gotten home from work and he's like, you know, I don't want to talk about that right now.
I've had a really hard day.
Yeah.
You're like, I got sexually harassed today and I want to talk about it.
Well, it's like, you just listened, you know, you kind of want them to be as passionate as you are in that very moment. And I'm such an, I guess, anxious type of person in that sense where I'm very reactive and very instant in that moment. But like, it's a part of the passion. I mean, of course you're always going to be angered by.
And there's a reason why you're feeling the way you're feeling. And I think we are a little bit different.
We're allowed to be angry. I think that's the rite of passage. And I think it's like that, yes, they cop it, but at the same time, it's like, well, like, I don't have any sympathy for you as well.
I know. And I think you and I are a little bit different in the fact the way we unleash, I would probably just cry.
Yeah.
And you would just yell and throw your hands in the air. And I feel like, no, you know, there's
there's
good
been
way
tears
to.
Too. It always ends in tears.
Always ends in tears, but then it's kind of over after that.
But it's definitely, like you said, I think, like, anger is such a good thing to kind of to harness, but at the same time, like, you're not going to win an argument that's how I see it. You're not going to win an argument or convince someone otherwise if you're just kind of like, I guess, making it a personal thing, if that makes sense.
100%.
And I think because that's what I think when someone's attacking you, they're like, oh, I haven't done anything wrong. And it's like, well, that bigger picture is it's not about you. It's more so being upset about the problem.
100%. Yeah. And I think it's very contradictory when you think about it rationally, not emotionally. If you start resenting your partner and putting hate towards your partner, you're contradicting what it means to be a feminist, because as a feminist, you're not a man hater and you're not trying to be above men. You're just trying to be equal to a man.
I think you're just trying to exist in the way you want to exist, because like, it's digressing a little bit too, but I don't think that gender equality is, I think it's just a myth perpetuated by patriarchy. It's not, I think, and that's where, I guess, the challenging of, it's, I don't know, what am I trying to say? It's, I think it's just more so being understood and like that self, it comes back to kind of being self-aware and being aware of where you sit. So it's not this kind of like striving to kind of constantly like be equal, I think, in a sense of like, or kind of seeing yourself as an individual person kind of getting to a point. I think part of being woke or in the grander scheme of things is to kind of see, understand and be self-aware of where you sit in the system and how you play a role in your privilege or your power that perpetuates it or, supports change. So when I get angry, I guess like my partner or I've had, really uncomfortable conversations with people I know, it's more so about kind of making them understand that it's not you that is the problem. It's not you personally, anything that you do. It's things like behaviors. It's like microaggressions. It's things that we do day to day, like the jokes and I guess the subtleties. And it's the same with like anything like racism, feminism. They all are kind of like microaggressions that play into a bigger problem. So that's always the conversation that Jeremy and I always have, because I just want to make him more so realize. And it's also not my job to really educate him, but at the same time, it's like those discussions are around kind of like, how is the bigger picture? Like, it's not how are you acting, but how can you more so empathize with the problem and see why there's a problem and see why a lot of people are angry? And then, yeah, that's the kind of conversation I've tried to have now. So I less like come out screaming and more so pick my moments, when we're on a walk and I want to have a talk about it, because I love talking about it as well. Mm. And I think part of like being with someone is that you can have these discussions and they don't feel threatened by them, mm-hmm. or they don't, take it on board and say, hey, you're actually really interested in this. Like, I want to become interested in it
and
as
you
well.
Want them to be interested in that stuff. And I literally, this is like got nothing to do with that, but I remember when Damon found out about my endometriosis stuff, the first thing he did was go on this massive research journey and researched all about it. And I was like, wow,
that's so good.
That's so good. And I feel like when I do have these conversations and say these things to him, mm-hmm. he does take them on board. But you're so right in that it is so much more than a behavior change. It's literally demantling an entire
belief system.
And it's a whole societal shift. And it's the innuendo, like we were saying earlier, it's not just your partner could be amazing at home and do the chores and stuff. But if he goes out, they will never understand.
Yeah.
But if he's going out with the guys and wolf whistling or making jokes at women about women in the bar to his friends.
Microaggressions.
Yeah. And it's still remaining part of the problem.
It's perpetuating the problem. Yeah. And that's exactly right. And that's the biggest thing I've said to him now, because I'm Aboriginal Chinese, as you know, as well. And so racism plays a role in my identity as well. And I think part of the problem, I remember having this really big discussion. It was a very like pivotal moment with my partner and I. And I got to the point, obviously, like coming through my coming of age of like being more self-aware and kind of putting my identity as a woman and as an Aboriginal woman first and really backing that. And I've had to have really uncomfortable conversations with people I know and pull people up like when they're saying things. And I think part of if your partner understands more too, they should be doing the same thing.
That's so valid, because I think it's one thing to act it and play it yourself. But if you're not calling people out on their actions or behaviors, you're still part of the problem.
Yeah. And if you see it being done to someone else too, like it's just, you've got to pull it up when you see it. And having those, I think coming back to like sexism, those sexist jokes and those derogatory comments about women and like slut shaming, all those things like that. And like when you hear boys say it, like it's just about, it's like you've got to put yourself, it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It 100% is, but it's like, it's better to then, I remember just in my 20s always cringing and sitting there having to like listen to these horrible jokes and like
but not saying
fake
anything.
Laughing because you want to fit in. You don't want to make people, you don't want to be the party pooper at the end of the day. But now I just don't care. Like if you say something that I find like offensive or think is a microaggression, it's going to get called out and it's going to make the room silent and everyone's going to feel really uncomfortable and try and change the topic. But
But I think that also comes back to a confidence thing, because that's something you would never have done in your earlier 20s when you didn't have the confidence. Or also, and I think confidence comes from knowledge.
Yeah.
And if you don't have the knowledge to back what you're saying and why you're saying it, then obviously you're not going to come forward and stand up for that and make people change their perception on the problem. Can I just ask also, how old were you when you had your little coming of age moment about feminism?
I think like in my later 20s.
Yeah.
Again, I think part of it's got to do with, it's got to do a lot of things, but I think coming of that generation where it was really like a belated coming of age. Mm. I just think it was always there, and I think every female is probably always aware of it, but it's just like ignorance is bliss to kind of, and feminism was a really kind of like, I don't know, no one really, I was always like, oh, I believe in feminism, but I wouldn't call myself feminist.
But it wasn't spoken about.
Yeah.
It was never something that was massively spoken about.
It was really, I found it to be a dirty word, both in female and male friends. Mm-hmm. And I guess too.
Because it conjures that image of some hippie, alone,
or just really like
crazy,
angry, kind of woman. But now that's like what I would like to be. but it just, it kind of like really isolated you in your 20s. And I don't think, like you said, it's not talked about, but I don't think anything was talked about back then.
That's
like, that's just like one of the things.
Also, that's why I can't decide whether it's an age thing or whether it's a societal thing, in that now there are so many more discussions happening around everything from mental health to feminism to racism to ageism to all of that stuff is now being openly spoken about in a way that it never has before. So maybe it's not an age thing. Maybe it's,
I think it's definitely a societal shift. 100%. I think in the last few years we've seen a lot of change dramatically. But it's, to me, it's still not enough, but it's definitely more so out there. And I guess with social media as well, it's spoken about so much more, and it's people want to discuss it as well. I even think back into our 20s, like latching onto feminism, no one even spoke about sex.
So true.
So no one spoke about like self-pleasure and masturbation, and all those things were just dirty words, I guess, in a lot of the, I guess, groups that I was in as well too. So as well as not talking about the patriarchy and female issues, you're not talking about anything.
Mm.
And you're just kind of living in your bubble and partying.
Welcome to the party where everything's like, spoken about.
Thinking you have no worries in the world, but you have like crippling mental health.
Yeah.
And don't know anything about yourself. So then I guess like, coming to like 20s, and then I guess really just, it also wasn't about like over listening and reading things, although that came later. It was more so just about this confidence, like you said, to just stand up for what I believed in and like speak back and like,
and if you're myself. And if you're feeling heavy about something, you should be able to at least tell your partner, hey, I'm feeling really heavy about this stuff, let's talk about it. Here's some things we can do. Also on that, I want to say, because I don't just want this to be like sound like come off sounding super ranty about it, but one of my girlfriends obviously has gone through this whole thing as well, and one of the biggest gripes that she had was kind of the cost that females pay over males in terms of like, there's a whole other episode I could do on like the pink tax. So like we obviously pay a lot more for like tampons and makeup and all of this stuff that is kind of like, I know makeup's not technically essential, but things that we need that they kind of don't need. And her and her partner came to this agreement where things like her pill, her tampons, all of that stuff came out of a joint account, because it was things that she was paying for that were just a necessary part, and if all of their other lives were so joint anyway, that she was like, this is only fair. And I just thought that was super cool, and just like a cool little piece of advice that I could give. If you're feeling burdened about the financial cost of being a woman, talk to your partner about it. Damon offers all the time to, and I know this is not like contraception, it's like my antidepressants, he always offers to pay for them. They don't benefit him in any way at all, but that's just one thing in addition to a whole long list of other things that I pay for that he doesn't, that he wants to help with, because he can see how burdening it is to me.
Yeah, and there's a few other costs there as well. I think, well, I'm reading a really great book at the moment. I've actually gone blank on what it's called. it's called and who it's by, but she's amazing and she talks about gender equality, but she talks about the trade-off of women as well. And I think that's a really great point to think about. Like, we're always trading off in the patriarchy. Even if you are a privileged woman at the top of the food chain with, you know, if you're in a, you know, a career climber and you've had to kind of like get to the top and be around, like, I guess, white cis men, the trade-off is that you've had to like sacrifice like your position of being a woman and kind of supporting being against the patriarchy. There's always a trade-off that women make. And so other things that I guess we, as well as financial costs, like a lot of what we, and we were talking about before, emotional labor that women have to sacrifice, and particularly, you know, in relationships, and we were talking about friends and stuff, having babies and having to like work because, you know, we're working women as well as then also go home at 5 o'clock, look after their children and like look after their husband emotionally and like literally. And it's just like, it's such a common story with women still.
There are really great articles on the emotional load that I don't think people actually understand what it is, but women just tend to be the ones, obviously we do a full day at work, but we're thinking about what groceries we need to purchase for the dinner that night, what washing we need to do so that we have the clothes that we need to wear tomorrow, not just for us, but for our partners and for those in our household, whether it be children.
Our mother-in-law's birthday in a month. Like, yeah, they're all things that like women just take on, and it's just, I guess, it's not our genetic role to take on these things. It's like what the patriarchy has put us in the position of taking and the trade-offs that we have to make on a day-to-day basis. And so it's, I think, when approaching like aggressive conversations with partners, it's just about, it's them understanding those trade-offs that we have to make. They don't have to make them, because when you're at the top and you have the power and you have the privilege, you're not thinking about that. No. And that comes into a lot of like work culture as well. I find that people who, I guess, say like, oh, I don't see color, or like, oh, like I think women are getting, are you know, pretty equal now. That's because that person is coming from a position where they have privilege and they are sitting like at, with a lot of power in society. They don't have to worry about those things. They don't see the disproportion of like power, and they don't see like marginalized issues, like, because they choose not to, because it benefits them. So it's just like, I guess that's the kind of understanding in those conversations, is to make people aware of where they sit.
Yeah. And that's why the bottom line is, I don't want you to bottle up how you're feeling. If I can give you any advice, it is to talk to your partner or whoever it is about how you're feeling, because my emotional style is, I'm a bottler-upper. I bottle things up, and I hate confrontation, especially I hate fighting with a partner because of my emotional background trauma.
Yeah.
I equate fighting to them leaving me, and that is just the sad truth. So I bottle things up, and Damon can always tell when I'm quiet and moody and upset, and he knows there's something wrong, and he eventually gets it out of me. But at the end of the day, it is so much easier to just vocalize how you're feeling about these things, because they can't help you if you don't tell them.
Yeah. And I think also too, having these constant conversations, not just about like woke culture and anything to do with that, but like, as we were saying, mental health, like when you're opening up the conversations to broad ideas and concepts and problems, like you really start breaking down like people's barriers at the end of the day. I mean, like, particularly as my partner for Jerry, I'm just throwing me under the bus, but when we talk so much about mental health and like the patriarchy and like sexism, like all those problems with patriarchy, because men also don't benefit from patriarchy. I mean, toxic masculinity is like something that men have to deal with, and they can't, like, it's like a boxes them in and causes a lot of mental health problems and suicide down the track. And having those conversations around that really helped my partner unpack his own toxic masculinity and actually be able to emotionally converse and communicate in our relationship, because it's such an undoing for men to be, I guess, so stagnant, like emotionally stagnant from like age 15 or something like that. Like, they just don't progress because they're in an environment where they're not allowed to express themselves emotionally. Mm. So being able to have those conversations with them had really helped him unpack that, as well as also be able to talk to his friends about mental health, because I think those two things for men in particular are really difficult for them to do. So if they're able to open up those conversation lines with you, then they're able to then feel like they can be vulnerable elsewhere. Like, it's like the saying, like, the more you talk about it, even though you're like so transparent with your problems and everyone knows what's going on, you're not burdened by them anymore.
No.
You don't have any more power to like make you feel like shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's freeing. It's like the genie.
Yeah.
Take the shackles off.
Yeah. And I feel like it's great to be able to have those conversations with your partner and learn from each other a lot more, even though half the time it ends in tears or the conversations are hard at the start.
Because all tears are is an emotional release. Yeah. It just means that you're passionate about something.
Yeah.
So to draw this episode to a conclusion, I think I'm going to give you a call to action.
Okay.
Well, we always leave it with a piece of advice.
Yeah.
Do you want to go first?
Oh, shit. No, you go first.
I mean, my advice is, if you're feeling heavy and burdened by the patriarchy, talk about it, because I guarantee you 100% all of your other female friends are too.
My piece of advice is, don't get so bogged in by having to be perfect and having to know everything about where you sit in any sort of like problem. I think it's just be empathetical and be kind to other people and be self-aware. And that's a good starting point. And from there, I guess, keep learning, growing. And it's uncomfortable at the start, but you'll feel better within yourself. And I think you feel more confident.
That's such perfect advice, because when I listen to Jamila and Jamil, I just sit there wishing I could speak as well as she does about it and as articulately as she does, but I think I never will. But also the fact that I am now attuned to that conversation is good enough for now.
Yeah.
And it's still a step forward to where I was before.
I think she would even say that she's still learning too. 100%. And that's the best thing about, I guess, growing, is that you're always growing. It's always fluid. So you're never going to get up to a point where you're like the perfect feminist and no one would ever say that you will. I think you're always just on this path of changing, and that's a good thing, because the last thing you want to be is stagnant.
Mm. Oh, and my last piece of advice is, go and watch Clementine Ford's deep dives about movies.
Yes.
Cheers.